Welcome to a Performer of the Week edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing our Performers of the Week, the actors and actresses who we believe did an outstanding job, as well as our honorable and dishonorable mentions. Joining me today, Mike's back from his wonderful vacation. Welcome.
Hi.
You take more vacations than anybody I know.
I've been working. Leave me alone.
Mel, welcome.
Hello.
Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
Bernard, welcome.
Hello.
Well, Performer of the Week. Mel, who do you have?
Well, we were talking about this before the podcast, Mike and myself and everybody else, that there's really not a whole lot of people you could pick from because nobody really stood out. So I just went with an old standby. She's always great. I went with Jess Walton from The Young and the Restless because Jill was cracking me up this week. Especially in the beginning of the week when she was trying to seduce the governor from letting Catherine get everybody off for all that chipmunk business we had earlier. That was hilarious. I love how she called Catherine a silver chipmunk. I was rolling. And then when she went off to the Cayman Islands, lost all her money with Jeffrey and Gloria. Just more funny stuff. And she's always fantastic, so Jess Walton.
Okay. Reagan.
You know, for some reason, Brandon Buddy, when he was apologizing to Marco at the drugstore, you know, when he called him to go buy him some condoms, but they had a kind of like this weird misplaced scene in the middle of a drugstore where he told him the truth about the drug test and apologized to him. And for some reason, it just stuck out to me that I'm not as big of a Brandon Buddy fan as some people are, but when he does good, he does stand out. And for some reason, that stood out to me. And we talked about it on the ABC episode, but I got to give a shout out to Laura Wright. She was great this week in all the waiting room scenes while they were waiting for Michael's surgery.
Bernard?
I'm going to go with Maura West from As the World Turns. And not because there was anything particularly exciting or outstanding about anything that was written or any particular scene, but more because it's almost coming down to a point where she's almost anchoring the entire show.
She is. There's no question. It isn't a matter of almost. She is.
Yeah, and in terms and because she is just exuding such ferocious power in her scenes, everybody is sort of just like gravitating around her, and because of that, I think that she deserves Performer of the Week. Even though I agree, that would be an honorable mention for me, but I'm going to give it to Maura West because it was just like this week. It just seemed like she was the anchor of the entire show.
See, it's almost a discredit to Maura West to say this because Reagan and Melody use it in the dishonorable mentions, but Maura West just needs to become a box that everyone checks because, yeah. I mean, it, week in, week out. Mike?
I had a hard time as well. I'm going to pick somebody from As the World Turns, Terry Colombino, and the reason why I'm picking her is because although I don't understand Katie's sudden need to be a mother the way the show's written, I really feel that she is rising above the material, and she is just making me feel badly for her. She wears no makeup. She's upset. She can cry on a dime. She's gone through every emotion, you know, being betrayed, anger, hurt, despair. And when she says that she does not see how she's ever going to get over this, you can almost feel it. And I feel like, despite the storyline, she is still making it work. And I guess that's why we pick a Performer of the Week, because although I like her all the time, I think she's really risen above what she normally gets. She's actually making me feel sorry for Katie and the predicament she's in with her best friend, Vienna. So that's why I picked her.
Well, for a moment, I was afraid that Mike was going to pick mine because mine is also from As the World Turns. I don't know what it says about a show that is so bad but has three people picking Performers of the Week. Colleen Zhang Pinter for coming onto my screen and doing something to make the Vortex of Suck watchable. It was, her scenes were amazing this last week. It's like, okay, if she was in these scenes with Roger more often, I might actually be able to watch them. It was just great to see her on my screen. The other reason is like, seeing her on my screen giving Paul the riot act made me wonder, why in the hell isn't she opposite of Mora West again? Bring these two back together into a storyline and give us something good.
Can I make a point about Colleen?
Okay.
About Barbara? Barbara should have been a part of that whole storyline from the beginning where Paul has been turning into James Stenbeck. And I've said in the blog many times that the best thing that they could have done for the character of Paul was to turn him into James Stenbeck after all of the stuff that they put him through that didn't make any sense. But she should have been the through line, and it was just phenomenal seeing her come back on screen, as you said, and actually start connecting those dots and saying, you know, your ex-husband and his father, your son has just turned into him. And I thought it was great. So that I agree with you in terms of with how great it was seeing her back, that she should have been there all along.
Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions, Mel.
I have three honorable mentions this week. My first one has to go to Zach Conroy, James Spaulding. There's something about this kid. He draws you to the screen. He has such a strong screen presence, and he's holding his own in scenes with soap vets like Grant Alexander and Ron Reigns. And for that, I have to give him honorable mention. And then I have Brittany Underwood, Langston from One Life to Live, for her little speech that she gave to Lola when she was about to kick her butt. Comprende? I loved it. It was awesome. And last one comes from One Life to Live, too, and that is Florencia Lozano, Taya, for her speech that she gave in that whole mess with Powell and Todd, and she's like, I hate Todd, and blah, blah, and she was just amazing. She forced me to watch. I was just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So there you go. Honorable mentions.
Reagan, who do you have?
It's very similar to Mel's honorable mentions. I'm giving it to Brittany Underwood and, oh, my God, Dorian.
Noah?
No, why did Dorian's name just
Robin Strasser?
Robin Strasser.
I'm like, why is her real name not hitting my tongue? Brittany Underwood and Robin Strasser. I just thought their whole safe sex and we're going to do it for the first time talk, both of them did a great job. Loved Langston ripping into Lola. But I have to say, I got to give it to a third person, and I have to give it to Lola. Camilla Banis, is that how you say her name?
Oh, Reagan.
I don't like her. I've never liked her. I've wanted her off my screen, and I'm glad that she's leaving. But put that girl on LSD, and she can act. And I know it's fictional LSD, but that girl, she convinced me, and she was funny and good. And it's nice that you're going to leave on a high note. See you later.
Bernard.
I have three, and I agree with Reagan about Camilla Banis. I thought that she was hysterical in her loopy LSD high, which has been a high note, for her. I really thought that she brought it during those scenes. Robert Newman from Guiding Light. I really like the darker side of Josh. Historically, it goes back to when Josh came on Guiding Light as something of a villain. He wasn't like completely bad, but he was sort of a villainous rogue, and I think that Robert Newman is playing that darker side of Josh really, really well. After you know years of being the tortured saint, the tortured hero, the tortured daddy, he's really doing a bang up job on that. And then finally, Laura Wright from General Hospital. She was just fantastic this week in her concern for Michael and the surgery and her choices that she had to make and trying to deal with the volcanic personalities of everybody in that room. She just bounced off of in the waiting room during Michael's surgery. She just bounced off of everyone effortlessly, and I just think that she was great.
Mike?
I have a list as well, but I don't have any dishonorables, so we'll trade. I picked Catherine Kelly Lang for The Bold and Beautiful when Rick put together that cheesy DVD of Phoebe, she was the only one not related to Phoebe that was in the room that was actually crying real tears. Everybody else was just, I don't know what they were doing. So I give it to her because she's always good, and she's been handed crap lately, and she just always makes it worth watching for her. John Lindstrom, his role as Craig. Craig and Carly are one of the reasons that I like to watch As the World Turns. So I give him an honorable mention. And Daniel Goddard from Young and the Restless, I think playing boring Kane kind of showed sometimes. But I noticed in Friday's episode, he had a very subtle shift in his character, knowing what we know now, the reason why. But it was something that if you watched Kane closely, you could see that there was a difference on his wedding day, that there was something that he was holding back somewhat, that he was able to put out there that he's hiding this secret and not make it obvious that he's been doing it all along. So just for that little differentiation, I kind of picked it up that if you put it out there, I give him one. And one more, just one more. Amelia Hindley, for when she confronted Jack at the club for messing around with Victor. And I just thought – or Colleen. She, for once, had some oomph in that character. And I'm kind of hoping that since JT hasn't really been around, that she's going to kind of reclaim some of her past. I think the actress has it in her to be able to do it. She's just not really written that way. So I really like the way she confronted Jack about Colleen. I even like the way she confronted Colleen about her interfering in Newman business with Jack. So I liked her in that part. So that's it for me.
My honorable mentions are two people who I don't think I've ever given honorable mentions to before. Daniel Goddard and Crystal Khalil. Because as much as I loathe that couple, their dialogue and their conveyance of the dialogue was enough to make me believe that these two characters actually love each other. Now, that having been said, Lily's in for a big old wake-up call.
Isn't that soapy, though?
Yeah.
That's really soapy. She thinks she's going to have this great wedding to this great guy. He's turned out to be a complete fraud.
Yeah, she thinks she has Prince Charming, and and she may not have Prince Porn anymore, but she has Prince Smarmy. Melody,
yes.
Dishonorable mentions?
Dishonorable mentions. I have three, and I'm going to check the Crystal Hunt box first and foremost. Because I don't understand how you're going to play a stripper and you don't have any rhythm.
Oh my God, I was like, they are letting her dance again. No.
You can't do that, babe. You got to have some rhythm if you're going to be doing a strip. I mean, I don't understand. Okay.
And it don't even take that much rhythm.
And she just doesn't have it. I have someone be like, you go sit down somewhere and don't say nothing. Okay. I'd like to take the Caitlin Van Zandt box once again. I don't need to explain anymore. And it's been a month.
Wait, Mel, you mean I think I'm about to be a wedding planner now.
What's the next line again? I forgot. And the last one, it's been a month, so she gets a box now. Clementine Ford, New McKinney.
Oh, she's so bad. She's so bad.
She gets a box now.
Reagan?
Checking Crystal Hunt, checking Nathan Parsons, because he was sorry you put him on my screen, he gets the check. But I gotta add a new one that may start getting checked if she doesn't check herself. Natalia Livingston, get it together. You are horrible. I don't know if you just need to go and tell them, just let me go back to playing Emily Quartermain, because this Rebecca Shaw character who hunches her shoulders in like she's got the world's worst posture and flings her purse back and forth, I wanted to reach into my screen and grab it out of her hands. I can't stand her. Can't handle it. Can't handle the storyline.
So. Bernard?
I only have one dishonorable mention because everybody else checked all of the boxes and there are no more rooms for check marks.
Don't worry. I'm going to be adding some check marks.
Add a box.
Add a box.
Add a box.
My dishonorable mention is it might be slightly unfair to the actor, as odd as it sounds, but it's Peter Francis James, who came back as Clayton Boudreau on Guiding Light. Peter Francis James has never, ever convincingly played that role. I thought he was actually pretty good with what they gave him to play in terms of having been duped in James's Ponzi scheme, which is just a fantastic story, by the way. But as Clayton, he failed miserably. Peter Francis James failed miserably as the replacement for Richard Biggs, who passed away. And then after coming in after Montel Williams just reinvigorated that role was just a massive, massive letdown. And, you know, they might not have been able to get Montel again or for whatever reason, but every time I saw Peter, it's like, that ain't Clayton. I just thought, that ain't Clayton. Every time he opens up, that ain't Clayton. That was my whole response to him. So it's Peter Francis James.
Mike?
Yes. I said
wait,
it.
Wait a minute. I was going to say, you said you didn't say.
I didn't, but I did have the box. Okay. I have the box on. I just have to say, I have the box on The Bold and the Beautiful for the three who were with Catherine Kelly Lang when she was the only one crying. And that's all I'm going to say because y'all know who they are.
Well, I'm checking the Clementine Ford box and putting it with red ink. It's just. What do they. I mean, I've never been a fan of the character of Mac, period. Okay, I mean. So there's that against the character. But this actress, they gave her braids that make her look like Simba as an adult on Lion King. It's, I mean, extensions. It's just terrible. And she can't deliver a line for the life of her.
Is it the character or the actress?
I think it's the actress.
I don't see the point of her character at all. I mean, we could talk about that on the CBS thing, but I don't see the point of her character being back at all. At all.
It's got to be the actress, because I always loved Mackenzie, and I always saw a point to having Mackenzie, because she was always just that kind of offbeat character that the show needed to me. But it's the actress. She's got to go.
Now that they've got her looking like Simba, she's going to be around forever.
Simba.
Mufasa, okay.
Okay. The circle of the life of Mac needs to end is what needs to happen. We would encourage you to comment on this episode on the blog at Daytime Confidential. Join us on Twitter. I started up a Twitter account a couple months ago, made two little posts, didn't log in because to me, Twitter is just too complicated. And logged back
yesterday. Now he's addicted.
No, I'm not addicted yet. I'm not addicted.
Liar, you're addicted.
I'm still.
You were sending me IMs, download TweetDeck, do this.
Well, no, I was doing that because I'm trying to figure out what the best way to do this that's the most easiest and convenient, so I'm having to go through this terrible stage. But now...
You know what's convenient for you is to have somebody else do it for you.
Well, I was thinking about it.
Just assign somebody the task. Here.
Reagan, you're now our official Twitter at DC.
No!
You can check out the Twitter account, the official Daytime Confidential Twitter account at twitter.com/DC Confidential. Shoot us an email about your comments on this episode at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. If you're already on Twitter and you haven't found people like Reagan and Jillian and Jamie and Tina, you can find them by looking through my friends/followers list. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
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 Bye, y'all.